Please open your Bibles to the book of Job, the 9th chapter. Job chapter 9. And starting with the 25th verse, we'll read responsively through the end of the chapter. Job chapter 9, page 575 in your Scofield Bible, verses 25 through 35. These additional announcements came. More cars need to be moved. Dodge 600 SE, Nebraska plate IP3987 is blocking the gas pump. A copper-colored Honda Accord LX, temporary plate 485M, blocking gas pump. There's a white Mazda truck that is blocking someone in the gravel lot behind the church. Let's stand, please, for the reading of this passage of Scripture. Now my days are swifter than a post. They flee away. They see no good. They are passed away as the swift ships, as the eagle that hasteth to the prey. If I say, I will forget my complaint, I will leave off my heaviness and comfort myself. I am afraid of all my sorrows. I know that thou wilt not hold me innocent. If I be wicked, why then labor I in vain? If I wash myself with snow water and make my hands never so clean, yet shalt thou plunge me in the ditch, and mine own clothes shall abhor me. For he is not a man as I am, that I should answer him, and we should come together in judgment. And this verse is the text verse. Neither is there any daysman betwixt us that might lay his hand upon us both. Let him take his rod away from me, and let not his fear terrify me. And let's finish together, please. Then would I speak and not fear him, but is not so with me. And let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this good day. And whatever the weather might be outside, it's still a wonderful day because we are privileged to be in church. And of all the churches in the world, we're privileged to be in this church. Thank you for First Baptist. Thank you for our preacher. We pray that you'd do that work which thou didst have in mind in this service today. And may we please thee in all that's said and done. Grant thy Holy Spirit's presence and power in Jesus' name. Amen.
I want to speak this morning on this subject, Just Cause. Just Cause. Well, I said, when I was a kid, I said, why do you believe that? I said, just cause. Just cause. I want to speak this morning on the main reason I believe the Bible. Just cause. Just cause. Now, before I read this, before I pray, and before I bring the message, first let me inquire as to your comfort. Are you comfortable? You're too warm? Raise your hand if you're too warm. All right. So, Randy, it's going to get a little warmer outside, too. Why don't you knock it down 1 degree for us this morning? Thank you. Now, before I pray, I want to say this also. I'm not a scholar. You may have noticed that. I've noticed that you're not scholars, likewise. And, I'm not an intellectual. If I had my choice, I would just as soon not be one. But I'm not an intellectual. But I did take the courses that my enemies took, that my critics took. I did not go to what we'd call a fundamental college. I went to one of the old line type colleges. I did not go to what we call a fundamental seminary. I went to three institutions of higher learning, if you call those. I went for a year to the University of Texas. Then I got my degree from a Southern Baptist college. And then I went to the largest seminary in the world, Southwestern Baptist Seminary. And they would not be real proud of me today. Nor am I overly proud of them. But I want to tell you this morning that I'm not speaking, though I'm not an intellectual, I'm not speaking as some nut that never has been to school. I went to school, I just didn't study while I was there, that's all. But I've had all the courses that my critics have had, and those that critique me, I've had to read the same books that they read. I had to read Reinhold Niebuhr, Emil Brunner, Kierkegaard, Barth, all the rest of them, that we would not have in our college, but that people would consider being intellectual. But I, by the way, I'm no Greek scholar. Neither am I an idiot like others. But I'll promise you this, apart from my Bible and apart from my concordance, I'll spend more time in my Greek New Testament than I will in any other book in my library. I'm not a Greek scholar, but amen, I'm not a Greek scholar. but I do know enough Greek to where I don't get lost with it. And so I'm saying that the fellow that's speaking to you this morning on the subject just cause is no intellectual, he's no brain or brilliant scholar, but I've been exposed to some. I want to speak on that subject just cause. Our Father, bless our message this morning. I pray that our people shall have a renewed faith in our great God because of this hour. In Jesus' name, amen. The book of Job is a book of trying to understand God. The entire book of Job, after he has had his sufferings and trials, I'd say the last 35 chapters of Job, maybe more, are chapters that deal with man trying to understand, figure out, and rationalize God. Job, the best man in his country, one of the wealthiest men in his country, the most respected man in his country, the Bible says that he, much like E.F. Hutton, when he spoke, caused others to sit in silence. The Bible says in Job chapter 9, I think it is, maybe not, but the Bible says in Job that Job was the most respected man and he was the last word. His word was always the last word. It says that after he spoke, nobody else would speak because Job was Mr. Christian, Mr. Citizen, and Mr. Morality, and Mr. Congeniality and liberality. He was it. This man, through no fault of his own, found himself one day losing all of his wealth. He was a wealthy man who lost it all. And one great tragic swoop of heartache, he lost his wealth. That is and all. Job and his wife had 10 children. In one tragedy, all 10 of these children were taken by death. Now, I somehow do not feel that we realize that Bible characters were human. Job and his wife heard one day that all 10 of their children were killed. They had a multiple funeral service. We're talking about 10 corpses, 10 caskets, 10 graves, and no children left. That isn't all. Job was smitten with the awful disease of elephantiasis, a form of leprosy. There was not one place on the body of Job where there was anything but corruption. Filled with sores, pus running from those sores all over his body. Job was so much in pain that he went down to the city dump, the garbage dump, and sat in the embers of the garbage dump to get some relief, for even the fire of the embers gave him relief from his pain. He got what they call a potsherd,
much like a knife we'd have. And he sat there in the garbage dump and began to scrape his body like that, all over his body. For even the scraping of that knife gave him some relief from the awful pain. All of a sudden, his wife looked at him and said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" And he lost the faithfulness and loyalty of his wife. But that isn't all. He had three men, and maybe another, maybe a fourth, who were his, what he thought, good friends. They came to him, and almost all, I'd say 90% of the book of Job, deals with the conversation of Job and these friends. Don't leave me now. His friends come to Job, and by the way, the entire thing deals with trying to understand God. All of these last 35 chapters or so deal with Job and his friends trying to understand God. His friends say to Job something like this: God is loving and will see to it that the good prosper and the wicked are punished. Now, you hear that? They said to Job, Job sitting here in the ash heap, his wife is gone, his children are dead, all of his wealth is gone. Job sits there in the ash heap, and these three friends, so-called friends, come up and say, Job, God is good, and God will see to it that the good receive good things, and they prosper, and the wicked are punished. And I want to stop and say this: that's the devil's lie. It's also the modern television evangelist's lie also. The devil's lie. Some of the finest folks in this world suffer. Some of the sweetest old saints of God have the most pain. But they said to Job, they said, well, God is good and loving, and he'll see to it that the righteous prosper and the wicked are punished. Now, Job took offense at that. Hey, listen. Job said, I want to say a few words about that. He said, wait a minute. Are you implying that my children were wicked? He says, you're trying to tell me that my 10 children are wicked and that's why they were killed? Job said, now, you wait a minute. I take offense to that. He said, are you trying to tell me that I am wicked? And that's why? Why, he said, I've given more to the poor than anybody in this country has. Are you trying to tell me that I'm suffering, and that I have this disease, and that I have lost my children and my wealth, and I'm sitting here in the city dump because I'm wicked? Job said, I take offense at that. He said, all that. He said, how am I worse than you? He says, what? Okay, he said, if I'm being punished, what am I being punished for? And they replied, his so-called friends said, well, Job, you can't expect God to tell you what you're punished for. What do you want? You want from God an itemized report? You want God to give you an itemized statement about why you're being punished? Job, God's too busy running this world. God's got the whole universe to run. He hasn't got time to tell you why you're being punished. Job comes back and says, I don't claim you're perfect, but I've tried to live a decent life. How can God be just when many wicked people suffer less than the righteous? And that has been the question that righteous folks have asked all these years. My neighbor across the street never goes to church. He drives a Cadillac and I drive a Ford. What more punishment would a fellow want? I mean, a fellow across the street lives in a $300,000 house. And I live in a $30,000 house. He makes $200,000 a year, and I make $20,000 a year. He never goes to church. They have their beer parties. They have their country club balls and so forth, and sip their cocktails and live like the heathen. And he said, and yet I live right. I don't touch liquor. I don't profane the name of God. I use decent language. I don't watch the programs on the television set that are wicked and vile. And I do the best I can to live for God. And look at him. He drives a big car. He lives in a big house. I drive a little car. I live in a little house. He wears $1,000 suits. I wear Goodwill stuff about from Goodwill. What's the deal? Let me tell you, folks, you don't have to worry about what the deal is. Let God figure out what the deal is. Because everything the wicked have that's good, they're going to have in this world. And everything the righteous have that's bad, we're going to have that in this world. So it's going to be all evened out later on. His friends say, okay, you're just proud and arrogant. That's why you're suffering. And then they continue for the rest of the book. Now follow me carefully. They continue to analyze God and try to understand God. For the rest of the book, the whole thing is Job and then a friend and then Job, another friend, then Job, another friend. They try to analyze God. Let me give you some of their reasoning. One says, God must be fair If he is, Job has sinned. Let's see, they said, if God is fair, then God must punish the wicked. And if Job is punished, he must be wicked. They're trying to analyze God. Then another said, God is so powerful that no moral rules belong to him. God does not have. He makes the moral rules, but God lives above those moral rules, and none of those belong to him. Another said, we have no right to judge God. Another said, Job said, I wish I had an umpire to call it. He said, I just wish there were somebody that knows God, is like God and knows man, so they could judge between us. You fellows say, I've done something wrong. I say, though I'm a sinner, I've not done anything to deserve this. You say, it's because of my wicked life. I say, I've not lived a wicked life. I wish I had an umpire. And they just keep on jockeying to and fro, trying to analyze God, understand God, rationalize God, figure out God, just like theologians in the average seminary class today. And then one would suggest this, God is so powerful that God owes us no explanation. Another says, bad things happen to good people, but it's not God who wills it. They say, okay, then bad things do happen to good people, but it's not God's fault. God does not will that bad things happen to good people. Another projects this, God would like to give people what they deserve in life, but he can't always arrange it. That's what one suggested. God would like to make it so all of us had good things, but God can't always arrange it so. Another said, God is not doing this to us, so we can turn to him, not doing this to us, so we can turn to him for help. Another says, we've got to make God look good. We've got to make God look good. And if God doesn't punish wrong, he looks bad. And if God doesn't give prosperity to righteous, he looks bad. Now, follow me carefully. Job enters into all this mess just like you would in a theological school, which is just a waste of time. Close your theology books and go soul winning. But I'm not talking about studying the Bible now. I'm talking about studying theology. I'm not talking about studying God. I'm talking about there too much studying about God. You don't need to justify God. So Job just finally, he says, fully on the whole thing, I'm going to quit discussing about God, and I'm just going to settle on this. God's good. God's good. Well, Job, explain why God's good, just cause. But Job, that doesn't make sense. I've been trying to make sense the whole book. I'm not going to mess around making sense now. Job, you believe that God is always good? Yes, that's what I believe. Prove it. I don't want to prove it. I'm tired of proving it. Well, why do you believe it? Just cause. Just cause. Let me tell you something. The reason I believe... wait a minute. I've read all the books. I've studied Westcott and Hort manuscripts and the Vatican manuscripts, and I've studied Textus Receptus, and I've read all about the Alexandrian text and the King James and all about that. But I've come to one conclusion. I believe this Bible just cause. Just cause. Just cause. Best people I know believe this Bible just cause. My mama didn't know. My mama thought the Vatican manuscripts were toilet tissue. She didn't know what they were. My mama didn't know that. Mama believed the Bible just cause. It worked. By the way, the Vatican manuscripts are not as good at toilet tissue, in case you'd like to know the truth about it. Don't be so shocked. At least toilet tissue didn't lie. But I'm saying... Job said, he said, I've tried to analyze it. I've tried to rationalize. I've tried to understand God. He said, I'm a man. He's God. I can't understand God. And you can't either, by the way. Most brilliant mind in this room this morning can't understand God. Job said, I have decided I'm not going to prove it. I'm just going to believe it. And Job said, I'm not going to prove it and then believe it. And he said, I'm not even going to believe it and then prove it. I'm just going to believe it. He said, all investigations are called off. He said, no more investigations. I have decided what God is, and consequently, I am going to accept what God does. And I'm not going to put God on trial and say, God does this and this and this, so God is good. I am not going to decide whether God is good on the basis of what he does, because I am man and he is God, and I am dust and he is deity, and I'm the creature and he's the creator, and I wouldn't want a God so weak that I could understand him. I wouldn't want a God so puny I could figure him out. Job said, from now on, I'm just going to believe God is good. I don't have to have any reasons. I don't have to have any examinations. I don't have to have any investigations. I just believe God is good. And I'd like to say this morning, God is good. God is good. You say, yeah, he's been good to me because this and this. No, not God is good, not because this and this. God is good just cause. Just cause. Job said, no more he does so and so, so he's good. Said, I'm going to let God do what he wants to and still be good. Job said, I believe that he is, and believe that there is a reason for everything he does, but I don't have to know it. Now you listen to me. You're wondering this morning about God's goodness. Forget it. God's good. Well, you say, I can't figure it out. You don't have to figure it out. God's good. But you know what has happened in my life? Doesn't matter what's happened in your life. God's goodness is not changed every time he does something you don't understand. You just put your faith and trust in God Almighty and say, God is good, and that settles it. And I'm take God off trial, and I'm through my investigation of God, and I'm just going to believe God is good. I was on the airplane, and that's needless. I was on the airplane. My address is O'Hare Field. But I was on the airplane a few weeks ago, and I was sitting beside a fellow. We started talking. I found out he was a theologian, a scholar, self-styled scholar. My Bible says that the beginning of wisdom is the Word of God. But anyway, we were talking, and he said, you're a fundamentalist, aren't you? I said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's right. Capital F, capital U, capital N, and capital however else it's spelled. That's one of the marks of being a fundamentalist. You can't spell it. But anyway, I am. I are one. And he said that I take it that you believe the King James Bible. And I had this Bible in my hand. And I said, yes, sir. I believe this very Bible right here has been preserved. Every word of this Bible has been preserved. And every word of this Bible is the very Word of God. And he said, well, he said, did you attend a certified college? Yeah, sure. I said, yes, sir, I did. He said, accredited? I said, yeah. He said, what seminary did you attend? I said, Southwestern. Oh, he said, well, he said, then you studied Barth. I said, I really have. I've studied Kierkegaard. I've studied Bruner, Niebuhr, all of them. Connor, Gray, all of them. Well, he said, well, how then could somebody who's been had that background believe the King James Bible has been preserved word for word? I said, just cause. Just cause. Just cause. I took a few notes down. This is what he said. He said, you believe in a literal heaven has golden streets? I said, yeah. Why, he said, you seem to be too smart for that. He said, why do you believe it? I said, because the King James Bible says it. And he got flustered. He said, well, why do you believe the King James Bible? I said, just cause. He said, why do you believe in heaven? I said, Mama told me there was one. He said, when? I said, when she was dying. She looked up and saw Jesus, and she saw her two brothers and her sister and their mates, and saw two daughters that preceded her in death. And I said, she told me it was there. Well, he said, well, what if your mother was just having a dream or a vision of some kind, or I was out of her head? And I said, sir, my mother, when she was dying, was not as near out of her head as my seminary professor was for several years. And if mother was having delusions or something, I still believe there's a heaven. He said, why? I said, because the King James Bible says it. He said, why, when in the world are you going to get talking about the King James Bible? And I said, well, you could ask him a question. He said, why do you insist the King James Bible is preserved word for word? I said,
Just cause?
He said, do you believe in hell, fire? I said, yes, I do. Matthew 25:41, then shall I say, I quoted this to him, shall I say to those on the left hand, depart from me into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, you've got to believe the Bible and believe in hell, or if you don't believe in hell, fire, you don't believe the Bible. Well, you said, but the Bible doesn't always mean what it says. Now, do you think God's that dumb? If I write you a letter, you can understand it. He said, then should I say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed everlasting fire. And it says, those not found written in the book of life, be cast in the lake of fire, Revelation 20:15. And I said, in Mark 9, three or four times it says, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. I said, yes, I believe in hellfire, where people that turn down Jesus go to hell and burn forever. He said, well, why do you believe in hellfire? I said, because the King James Bible says it. He said, what sound intellectual? And the same nut will believe in the evolution that man came a monkey. Talking about sound intellectual. He said, how could you be, what sound intellectual evidence do you have that the King James Bible is the Word of God? I said, just cause. You know, the happiest folks I know believe what I'm preaching this morning. Your dear old sainted mama that taught you about Jesus, she didn't know anything about the Alexandrian text. I mean, she didn't know anything about the Textus Receptus. And I don't mind you studying it, as long as you already settled it before you studied. He said, you believe in being born again. I said, well, it doesn't really matter what I believe. I said, what does the book say? He said, what book? I said, King James Bible. Why do you keep on bringing up the King James Bible? Just cause. He said, that's not scholarly. He said, I don't care how a fella, as sharp as you are, could believe all that stuff. I said, just cause. Just cause. Now you listen to me. On my knees, I read every word in this Bible. When I had been taught by the University of Texas professors that the Bible was not the Word of God, and I began to doubt Mama and didn't know who was right, Professor Mama, I decided to find out. And the truth is, you folks this morning don't believe this Bible's Word of God. You don't know. You've never read it. You need to do your research. And I'm saying, on my knees, I decided to find out. I read this Bible. You said, Brother Howes, did you come to any intellectual assurance? No, sir. I just felt like it's the Word of God. Well, Brother Howes. Yeah, and America was a heap better off when we believed it. We didn't have all the dope. Nobody knew about heroin, marijuana, cocaine. Nobody knew about that when people believed this book just cause. We didn't have any big homosexual problem in America, queer problem. We didn't have all that. When we believe the Bible just cause, we even voted liquor is illegal. We believe the Bible just cause. I'm saying that the kind of nation, the kind of people that built this nation were people that believed this book just cause. I'm talking about days when Harvard University had revival meetings. I'm talking about days when the kind of preaching I'm doing right now was done in Yale University and in Princeton University and the great school. I'm talking about University of Chicago, founded by a hellfire and brimstone preacher just like I am, just like Howells Anderson College. I'm talking about Temple University in Philadelphia, founded by a Baptist fundamental independent old-fashioned preacher of the gospel. And I'm saying, in those days, America had some character. We didn't have the conscientious objectors. We didn't have the draft dodgers. We didn't have the riots on the campus.
campuses. We didn't have rape in our college dormitories. We didn't have the college dormitories that were mixed sexually. We didn't have all of that. Why? Because we believed the book back in those days.
He said to me, did you go to college and seminary? I said, I just told you a while ago. He said, did you believe Barth and Kierkegaard and Bruner and Niebuhr and Connor? And all? I said, no. He said, why didn't you believe them? I said, because they didn't agree with the King James Bible. Oh, he said, my soul. When can we just cut, stop talking about the King James Bible? I said, when you stop talking about what it teaches. Well, why do you believe it?
Just cause.
He says, is there any great theologian that you study under that you really admire? I said, one. He said, who? I said, Mama. He said, did she believe the King James Bible was the Word of God? I said, yeah. He said, why? I said, just cause. He says, I'd like to have more proof. I said, okay, then die and go to hell. Because you trust the Jesus of this Bible and go to heaven, or don't trust him and go to hell. Take your choice. He said, you say, if I don't trust Jesus and read the Bible, I'm going to hell. Who says so? I said, the King James Bible. What it says. He that believeth is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. He said, why do you take it so literally? I said, just cause. I looked at him and I said, sir, you know in your heart you don't have peace. You can sit there and look down on me, but you know in your heart there's something missing. Because as I said, God Almighty has placed eternity in your heart, and that empty spot in your life that you're trying to fill with liquor cannot be filled by liquor, because the emptiness was caused by the absence of eternity. I said, nothing temporal can fill the spot that was made for eternity. I said, your dope cannot fill the spot made for eternity. I said, your nightlife cannot fill the spot made for eternity. I said, the only thing that'll fill that eternal spot is somebody that's eternal. And my Bible says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I said, until you receive him in your heart by faith, you're never going to have the peace that you long to have. And I said, sir, I've been in this business for years. I know happy people. I know miserable people. I know who commits the suicides. I know. And I said, sir, I'll guarantee you the happiest people in this world are people that have what you would call blind faith in this old book as being the Word of God. And I said, if you ever come to a place in your life where you'll get down off your intellectual high horse and your ecclesiastical platform and get down on the level of the common man and look up and say, I am just a sinner and I need God and I'm hungry for God and I'll take him as my Savior. I said, God would make you his child and write your name in heaven, take you to heaven when you die and save you from the fires of hell. But I said, if you don't trust the Savior, you're never going to have the peace. And I said, you know it. There's no peace, saith my God, the wicked. He said, where'd you get that? King James Bible. Now what am I saying? I'm saying what Job said. God's good. How do I believe God's good? Just cause. Take God off trial. Quit investigating God. Quit trying to find out why God is good. Don't even say God is good, so I'm going to check and I'm going to prove he's good. That's one reason why at Howells Anderson College we do not teach hermeneutics. We don't teach apologetics at Howells Anderson College. We don't teach that. We're not trying to prove the Bible. We're trying to use the Bible and learn the Bible. That's all we're trying to do. We have no courses at Howells Anderson College that defend the Bible. The Bible doesn't need defending, it needs using. I was in the Army. I was in pretty good shape. Wait about what I weigh now. A guy walked up to me,
5 inches shorter than me, 20 pounds less weight. We had a little argument. He said, you better move. I said, who's going to move me? He didn't say to me, sir, this fist right here is 7 inches across. And this arm right here, this bicep is 17 inches. He didn't prove anything to me. He just knocked me down. Somebody said, how do you witness somebody doesn't believe the Bible's word of God? Use it anyhow. A fellow walked up to you and said, I'm going to stick you in the gizzard with this sword. Yeah, suppose I walked up, opened this knife this morning, and I said, I'm going to stick you in the gizzard. Say, what's a gizzard? It's stomach for people who believe just cause. And the fellow says, I don't believe in that knife. Well, if you don't believe in it, I guess I can't stick you in the gizzard with it. Oh, yes, I can. And whether you believe it or not has nothing to do with whether or not it does its work. It'll carve you up just as much whether you believe. And this book will carve you up just as much whether you believe it or not. A fellow walked up to Dwight L. Moody one day and Mr. Moody said, you're saved. He said, I don't believe the Bible. He said, Mr. Moody said, he that believeth not shall be damned. He said, you're not going to get me with that. I don't believe in heaven. Mr. Moody said, he that believeth not shall be damned. That's in the Bible, by the way, King James Bible. He said, I don't believe in heaven or hell, either one. Mr. Moody said, he that believeth not shall be damned. Every time that man said, I don't believe, Mr. Moody shot back with the word of God. And every time he shot back, it went deeper and deeper and more powerful. It's quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. After a while, a fellow fell on his knees, asked God to save him. Time and time again, I've gone to homes to witness for Christ. The people said they didn't believe the Bible, and I didn't even stop to try to prove it. I just used it. And I've seen them come to Christ, and some of the finest members of this church, whom I've won to Christ, didn't believe the Bible was the word of God, and I walked inside your home. So I believe that God is good. You say, why? Just cause. I believe there's a reason behind everything that God does. What is it? I don't know. Then why do you believe it? Just cause. Just cause. Just cause I do. Well, you say, Brother Hiles, you don't impress me at all with your intellectualism. Well, I've got news for you, sweetie. I am not trying to impress you with my intellectualism. And I'm not impressed with your intellectualism either. I know people. I've worked with people for 44 years. I've pastored churches for 44 years. And ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. The happiest people in this world, the most contented people in this world, are the people that believe that our God in heaven is good and they don't have to have a reason. They don't have to have an apology for it. They don't have to have any investigation about it. They just believe it just cause. I believe this morning that my God maketh no mistakes. And I believe it just cause I do. And this morning I believe that anybody that trusts Him as Savior will go to heaven when they die. You say, well, why do you believe it? Just cause. Just cause. That's the happy people in the world. Walked up down East Texas years ago. A dear old black lady was sitting on, I was out soul winning. Dear old black lady was sitting on an old fashioned porch, the kind that was built up high and always had a dog underneath it. An old country house. And she was rocking on the front porch in an old rocking chair. And I said, Mama, are you alone? She said, no, sir. I ain't alone. I said, who's there? She said, just me and Jesus. Just me and Jesus. You say, Brother Hiles, doesn't make sense. She's happier than you are. Fell on the plane, got upset with me. He said, I've never been so frustrated in my life. And I said, not me. I said, maybe you ought to try what I got. He said, Brother Hiles, why should I come to Christ? Just cause. Well, Brother Hiles, why should I give my life to Jesus? Just cause. Just cause. Just cause it works. It works. I've seen it work. Thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands of times. I've seen people come to Christ. It cleansed them from their liquor. Cleansed them from their lives of lewdness and indecency. And make them decent citizens. Like the little girl who went to watch a magician one time.
And the magician was making stuff disappear. And a little girl stood up and she said, back in the days when they used to have outdoor shows before this television and radio, and the magician was doing a bunch of magic stuff, making things disappear. The little girl said, "Sir, I know a magician better than you." He said, "Who's that?" She said, "Jesus." He said, "He came into our home and made liquor disappear. He came into our home and made cursing disappear. He came into our home and made a warfare disappear." She said, "Jesus came into our home, and you know what he did? He turned liquor bottles into little dolls for me. He turned bottles of whiskey into bottles of milk. And that's what he'll do for you." You say, "Why do you believe that?" Just cause. Just cause. Why don't you trust him this morning? Won't you quit trying to use your brain to reason out God and see what Job did? Job said, "I'm sick and tired trying to figure out God. Tired of it! I'm going to settle it and believe that God is good. I'm not going to try to prove it anymore. I'm not going to prove it, then believe it, or believe it, and then prove it. I'm just going to believe it, and that's it." In a few moments, we're going to stand. The choir's going to sing. There are dozens of you this morning who have never taken time to receive Christ as your Savior. Never have. I'm not mad at you. Wouldn't hurt you for the world. I'd make you mad if I could shake you enough to make you get saved. I don't want you to go to hell when you die. You're here this morning. Dozens of you ought to walk down this aisle and let someone show you in the Bible how you can know that you're going to heaven when you die. The choir's going to sing in a moment. You leave your seat, wherever you are. You folks in the balcony, we have seven sets of stairs that'll bring you down to the front, main row, and then come down to the front. Aisles all over this place. You leave your seat, come to the nearest aisle, down to the front, and just tell the man waiting at the end of that aisle you'd like to receive Christ and know you're going to heaven when you die. If you're here this morning, you've done that, but have not yet made it public, we invite you to come. Let us tell the people you trusted Christ. This is the church you feel like you ought to join, and you've already been born again. We invite you to come. There's a way you can join. I want to warn you before you come. This is an old-fashioned, fundamental church. You probably noticed that already. But I want you to come as the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart. But by all means, if you don't know that you're saved, come to Christ. Trust Him. He'll change your life. Transform it. I hope you'll come. Shall we stand, please? The choir will sing.